Many counted us out. They said we couldn't do it. Now, millions of listeners later, we're the hottest independent network in the world. Bashani Radio app. Download free in the App Store for iPhone and Android. Or listen online at BashaniRadio.com. You suckers. Kaboom! Kaboom in your face.
Welcome to Why She's Winning with your host, Christy Rutherford, the master of office politics and self-care advocacy. Since June 2020, her clients have earned over $1 million in promotions, raises, and bonuses. Surprised that women are still getting paid during a pandemic? Well, with Christy, these success stories are the rule, not the exception. Now is the time to take your career to the next level and live a life of total fulfillment. So, let's welcome your host, Christy Rutherford.
Hey, ladies, welcome back to Why She's Winning. I'm your host, Christy Rutherford, and my goal during this episode is to share insight on how to free yourself from yourself. My guest today is Monique Gibson. I got a bio right here. Monique is an HR professional with a JD, MBA, and over 15 years of experience across various industries, including aerospace, higher education, consulting, insurance, military, consumer goods, and manufacturing. Monique is a Swiss Army knife. She worked in various HR executive roles, i.e. she's the ish, as well as in-house counsel. She also served 2 years of duty in the Army, the first in Germany and the second on special assignment at the Pentagon for the Chief of Staff Army. Monique has been married for 18 years. She has two kids, a 16-year-old daughter and a 12-year-old son, and she also takes care of her elderly parents who live with her. She loves to coach 7 to 10-year-old girls in basketball, and she was voted class clown and the least likely to succeed in high school.
Yep.
She said, I failed my first year in college. I don't know why South Carolina State kept me. I don't know if they sent letters to my parents. I so appreciate them. I probably would have failed too. I think I did fail. They just didn't catch me. She said, I failed my first year in college because I played around all day with my best friend instead of studying and going to class. And an Army recruiter called me the following summer. I thought it would be fun to jump out of airplanes. One of the most pivotal decisions I've ever made and changed the trajectory of my life. Welcome, Monique.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, Monique, so we're talking about changing and really whether or not it's possible to change as adults, because they like to say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And like so many women are secretly and outwardly miserable. What was it about your journey that led you up to the point where you say, I need to do something different?
That's a power-packed question. I wasn't welcome in corporate America, and I allowed it to make me bitter. I allowed how others treated me and talked to me and told me about myself. I internalized that. Even though I was brought up differently, my mom always told us you can do, you know, whatever you want to do. And God loves you. You're a child of the Most High God. But just was beat down, bitter. You know, I was told how to act, when to speak, how to look, when to smile, how to breathe, how to walk. Had an executive run her fingers through my hair and ask me how is my hair softer than hers. So I was just angry and bitter, so much so to the point that at one point my husband had told me that he didn't like me. Mm. And then it just I knew my home wasn't where it should have been, but I didn't realize how bad it was until I got laid off. And then that's when I knew I needed help because I was so angry and so bitter. My sixth grader had won sixth grader of the year, and I was irritated when they came to give him the award because I had just been laid off and I was job searching and I was irritated. My baby won sixth grader of the year and I was irritated because I had to stop what I was doing. And then that's that picture that shows just the darkness that just consumed me. I was just bitter. And I mean, just and when I walked in the room, people would stop breathing because they're like, oh, because if you said something I didn't like or whatever, you know, my kids, they just they didn't touch me. Kind of, hi, mom. That was it. So it was at that point, I knew I didn't like myself. I knew I could do better. I knew I could be better. And that's when I saw you on a webinar, and I loved your energy. You know, you were in the military. I saw how positive you were, and I just wanted to be associated with somebody with that kind of energy. So reached out to you because I knew I needed help. Mm-hmm. I was rock bottom.
It's interesting because you talked about being bitter, which is one of my favorites. Did you know how bitter you were? Like, because I always say you can't change until you admit that you're unhappy. And so many people are walking around angry, bitter, hurt, resentful, but they're not willing to admit where they are because you're seeking the next thing, you're seeking the next award, or you're seeking the next job. I know that you're willing to admit it right now, but were you willing to admit it, you know, I think it's been 3-4 months ago, like, or even last year, but even, you know, really 3-4 months ago, were you willing to admit that you were bitter? And did you know how bitter you were until you're not anymore?
I didn't realize how bitter I was because I felt like I had a right to be.
Yeah. Woo! So good.
And that made it okay.
Yeah.
Like, I'm bitter. I'm unhappy. My home is unhappy. But I was like, well, they made me that way.
Yeah.
So that's pitiful. That sounds pitiful. But
No. It's good because I love how open you are about it because you're going to set so many women free. Because when you feel justified in your pain,
yes.
And if you feel justified in your bitterness, it's giving you a reason to hold on to it. So many times you don't think that you can change or that you should change because I am justified to be angry.
Mm-hmm.
When we got on the phone is one of my favorite stories. I mean, I have a lot of favorite stories, but what was the turning point that made you want to work with me?
Because you saw through my BS. Because on the call, you know, you asked me to introduce myself or something. And it was a Zoom call, so you could see me. And I knew how to smile. And I was at it. And then when I finished, you just kind of went, well, you just burned all the hair off of my face. And I was like, oh. And you said, you are bitter. You are mad as hell. And I said, oh, I'm not mad as hell. And then I like the fact that you called me out on it because mm-hmm. I know how to play the game. I know how to, I mean, as a Black woman, I know how mm-hmm. to make everyone believe that everything's okay, even though on the inside, there's like a nuclear explosion going on. But, oh, don't worry, I got it. I'm good. You need any help? No, I got it. You need me to work harder? No, I'll do that too. Yeah, I'll do it all. I'll do it all because I'm strong. I can't let anybody know there's a chink in my armor. I could go on for that. Days, but and I liked it because you from the get-go you called me on my BS. You were like, you're mad, and I was like, how does she know? And I needed that because mm-hmm. I responded to just that military, like, you're lying, I know you're lying, you need to get it together. Because anybody else, I could have BS'd them, but it didn't work on you.
yeah. Monique, I like that you talked about being bitter. And because so many women are bitter, you can see it in their face. You can feel it in their presence. You can feel it in their, I can feel it. And so you were the first potential client actually that you wanted to do the Zoom call. And so I was like, I don't know. Cause I don't like to comb my hair. I mean, I'm from the Bahamas. So why?
Yeah.
Like, why does this lady want to get on a Zoom call? So I agreed. I was like this. Okay, cool. I mean, I'm gonna be looking a little crazy, but we're gonna make it work. That was divine intervention because you couldn't hide from me if I'm looking at you because I can see bitterness.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, even on the phone, I can hear it, but I can see it in your face and you gave me a headache. Like, by the end of the call, I was sitting there, I was like, oh my God, right? Like, you, I was so serious. You just gave me a headache. You melted all the hair off my face. And you were so freaking angry. And you was like, no, I'm not. I don't even know what you're talking about. No, I'm not. I was like, oh, you're mad as hell. Stop it. I mean, you got me on camera. I can see you. Let me help you. So I love, one, what I do. Because I'll call people out and I'll just be like this. You're not going to help me, right? Just come on, man. Just let me help you. So how have you changed from you know, I would say I do want to go back to talk about the process, but on a scale of 1 to 10, how bitter were you? And then where are you today?
Bitter. I can only go up to 10. Yeah. 10. Mad okay. as hell. 10.
Okay. You know, I think about whenever we're angry, like this lady said, you know, Chrissy, what do you think about people who thought that you were an angry Black woman, or they called you an angry Black woman? I said, what do you mean now? Or in my career? She said, in your career. I said, I was mad as hell.
Right.
I was yeah. harassed every day. Like, it was always yeah. something popping off. And then I carried it at home. I carried it yep. in my family. I was always, somebody was always messing with me, not understanding how I was creating that loop with the law of attraction. And then karma, you say something, I'm going to cuss you out, which is going to make something else happen. And then they're going to get cussed out. So I'm trapped in this karma loop of I can't get free from myself and people pissing me off. People don't call me angry anymore. Now, you would have called me angry back in the day. You would have got the business because I was not willing to own it and I was justified in it. And Monique, anger was normal. So how mm-hmm. dare you call me angry Black woman? I have no idea I'm at level 10 angry.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. how dare you? Now, people don't say I'm an angry Black woman because I'm not angry anymore. I'm not even carrying that energy on me. So what are your mm-hmm. thoughts about that?
I think I would have been offended if somebody didn't say I was angry. I kind of felt like, well, that's what I'm supposed to be. So every time, like, I'm looking for something to be angry about. Like, it's not that serious.
Yeah.
You know, I would rip people's faces off in the store or at a restaurant, and everybody at the table wouldn't look up. Like, we know she's crazy. You know, and then my kids would be like, Mom, like, you're so angry. Like, you're so mean. And I yeah. remember my daughter, I got pulled over by the police when she was in eighth grade. And, you know, I knew, she goes, before he even walked up to the car, she goes, Mom, please. Don't say anything. Just don't say anything. So I didn't. I was mad. So I don't know if you remember, but I used to turn beet red. So when I was mad, people would be like, oh, and I didn't say nothing. And then we pulled off. She was like, Mom, you did. And I was like, be quiet. Like, it's okay. And then you don't tell me what to do. And I ripped her off. And I was like, what? And then I look back now, like, who was that? Yeah. Who was that angry, just mean, like looking for stuff to be mad about? Stupid stuff.
Yeah.
Because that's all I knew how to be, was mean and angry and bitter. And people already thought I was mean and angry. So I was like, okay, let me show you just how mean I really am.
Oh, you thought that was mean. Oh, let me show you. That was level 6. Yeah.
We can bump it up a notch. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was nothing.
It wasn't nothing.
It is, you were like Miss Sophia in Color Purple. I always like to say you was that person that, like, when what was it? When what was her name? The light skinned chick, when she slapped Miss Sophia at the juke joint and everybody yes. got nervous. here we go. And you know, like, close down the piano, you know, close up the guitar. Like, that's how you responded. And I remember when I was, because I used to be you. That's how I can call people out. Be like, I know what angry looks like. I used to be you. So now I'm weirdly happy riding unicorns. Let me help you. I remember I was at this event and it was one of my friends was hosting it. So we're officers. And then it was an enlisted guy sitting beside me, which is cool, you know, but he put his arm on the back of my chair. Right. And I'm one of 50 Black female officers in the Coast Guard. They were gunning for me. And I didn't really think they were gunning for me, but they were. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
We walk on such thin ice as Black women in leadership. We can't be caught doing anything. Don't catch me on YouTube. I'm not trying to be in no random camera shot where I got to explain myself. So I said, excuse me, because I don't even know this dude. Can you take your arm off the back of my chair? And he says something like, you don't tell me what to do. And everybody was like, oh, like, right? Like,
started grabbing their dessert plates. Like, okay. Yes. Yep.
He knew me. Everybody, like, I could see. And Monique, this is when I had finished coaching. So I was trying to be a better person, but they wouldn't let me. So I'm trying to be better. And he said that. And he startled me, and everybody at the table, I could just see the energy, the party was over after that. And that was kind of sad because they knew I was about to burn the whole building down. And I just kind of looked around and I could see the fear of their anticipation of my rage. And I was so disappointed that I created that. I didn't create this situation. I created their fear of my response. So tell the ladies, you know, because there's so many where you caught yourself, right? It was at the movie theater and then the Waffle House and this. But give the ladies a snapshot of what happened, how you responded differently, and then what happened after that.
Just, I was supposed to have a refrigerator delivered. I explained to the gentleman exactly what size, everything. We've been waiting for weeks, So they bought us this little bootleg, did it up, loaner refrigerator. So he called me and he was like, Ms. Gibson, I know you told me, I could tell he was scared. He was like, I know you told me, look at, but I got the wrong size. I said, okay. I said, it's okay. I said, no worries, it's a refrigerator. I said, we're good. And he was like, I said, now if it was the old Mo, I said, it would have been on like Donkey Kong. And he was like, it doesn't sound like the old Mo was that long ago. I said, nope. I said, she was just around probably about 5 months ago. I said, but now in my favorite saying, when you don't have an emotional reaction to an inharmonious situation, there is no situation. So what nothing to get upset about. Like in the grand scheme of things, like what, me getting mad isn't gonna bring a new refrigerator. So I said, no, I'll give you a year warranty. I'll give you keys to my car. Dude, it's okay. It's okay. I said, just get it to me when you can. So my husband came home. My husband's like, well, what happened to your refrigerator? I said, no worries. He ordered the wrong size. We'll get it in a couple weeks. My husband was like, like you didn't break them off or not? I said no worries. I said I didn't need to, and he was like, okay. Didn't disturb the peace in my house, because everybody, if mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. So my parents live with us, and even my mom, she got all upset. I gave her a hug. I said, mom, don't worry about it. I said, we got food in the refrigerator. I said, we're blessed. And she calmed down. Now, if I had been like, I can't believe he did it, then she would have got all wound up and upset. I said, mom, don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about it. So everybody finished the rest of their day wonderfully.
You know, it's interesting. I think about a year and a half after I burned out, because people either change through inspiration or desperation. And my goal with the women that I work with is to change you when you're inspired, so you don't become desperate and leave your good check and all your money and all your friends and end up in your brother's house broke on the couch crying, drinking Ciroc, red berry Ciroc with muscadine juice and Nutty Boss. I had a great time and I was sad. But it was about a year and a half after I resigned, and I remember going home for Thanksgiving and like this curtain open up, and I could see my family for who they were. And I was like, I haven't seen these people in 14 years, because every Christmas I was about to set it off. Now we cook for my family, we cook a huge breakfast for my family for Christmas. And by the time eggs, which are last, somebody gonna get the business. Does that make sense? and I thought it was them shooting daggers at me and getting on my nerves all the time. And after a year and a half of being broke and crying and really just releasing all the baggage, right? Because when you sad and you ain't got no money, you can't be arrogant. But then I saw them and I was like, I have spent 20 years walking around in a fog, and I cried, right? And so you get emotional sometimes when you think about who you used to be, because you think about how much time you wasted and how you don't feel. So give us an example of how being angry showed up and materialized in your house. And then when you weren't angry, what happened?
Yeah, so I didn't realize how scared my kids were of me. But they didn't really talk to me. They didn't engage with me. They definitely didn't touch me, didn't bother me. Once I started going through this transformation, I started seeing my kids for who they were. I started engaging with them more, tickling my son. He's 12. You know, hey, sweet pea, how was your day today? And he would kind of be like, good. And I would go just sit with him in his room. Like, can mommy sit with you while you do your homework? Yeah. Because he thought he was getting ready to be in trouble. And he was like, okay. So now he comes in, he'll just put his head on my shoulder. He'll just rest his arm on me. Hey, mom. Hey, mom. He'll come jump on the bed. My kids ain't been in my bed for years, ever. They both come sit on the bed. And I was like, oh my God. Even my 16-year-old, she's going through her thing now. She's bigger than I am. But she came and sat on my lap one day. And it took everything I had not to bust out crying. Because I was like, my daughter hasn't even felt comfortable enough to touch me. And she came and sat on my lap. So that let me know, like, wow, I was like an electric, what do they call those fences that you touch?
It's
like, electric fence.
Electric fence.
And I didn't know how bad it was. I really didn't. So that's how I know that I must have been just a hell raiser and didn't even realize it. So and of course,
funny,
looking back,
is interesting.
No. Yeah. I mean, you know, looking back, you go, oh my God. But when you don't know better, you can't do better. Mm-hmm. So I don't let myself get caught up in the guilt of, oh my God, what a horrible mom I was. You know, horrible wife. Even my husband come and like, just give me like one of them grandma kisses. Like, okay, see. Now we sit and watch TV together and he talks to me. He's like, hey, baby, how was your day today? And then, oh, what exciting happened for you today? So it's starting to rub off on everybody in the household. Like, because mama's happy. Like, you're not going to get me upset. You're not going to destroy the peace in our house. Even when my daughter is having one of her little moments, that's okay. I say, I love you, baby. She might speak. She might not.
Yeah, she's a teenager.
So
yeah.
It's been huge. Huge.
You know, I think about so many times, and I was going to write an article or do a video. Some of y'all don't deserve to get in the C-suite, but I'm not there yet. I mean, I may do it.
That's true, though.
Some of y'all, go ahead. Because you already know where I'm going with this. Where yes. am I going with it?
You're going with it like you mad as hell because you ain't in the C-suite, and then they don't want you in the C-suite because you mad as hell. So go figure.
It's that's one part. So I want to come back to that. So I'm going to table that right here. I'm going to keep my hand on it. But if your house isn't in order, what's the point of fighting to get to the next level if you're going to lose your household? And I've had several clients who's like, I keep track of marriages saved. And because for me, Monique, I always tell people it's not about the money, but don't get it twisted. Oh, we're going to get that money though. Let's be clear. But it's not about the money. Why should you be promoted if you're going to lose your house in the process? Why should you get promoted? Because ambitious women are so focused on getting to the next level and we're willing to do everything that you don't even see how your house is not in order. And it's not a judgment. It's forgive them for they know not what they do. You had no idea. So my whole goal with this podcast, and I love how you're being transparent, is I want women to be able to see themselves and admit it and then be able to look in their house and be like, you know what? My kids have not talked to me either. Like, so you don't deserve to be in the C-suite if you're going to lose your whole family. If your kids are going to be in therapy about how their mom was not available to them or your husband divorces you because he's giving you grandma pics and y'all aren't spending quality time together.
Yep.
So what advice do you have for women who are angry and they think that they're justified and maybe that they're just going to die that way? Or people who are unwilling to just acknowledge where they are right now?
We know we're angry, but we feel like we're justified. And we are. If somebody picks at you enough, it's going to start hurting after a while. Then you're mad about it. Like, don't pick me again. And they keep pick. Yeah. I mean, do we get mistreated? Yep. But you have a choice. Nobody can make you feel any particular way. We have a choice. Yeah, we can sit up and stay mad. and then stay in the same old, you know, going around the mountain every year for 40 years until we get it right. Because God's not going to promote us for what? Nope. We don't even have home right. So when you can admit it and say, am I angry? Yeah, I am. Does that mean I'm not strong? No. Does that mean God doesn't love me? No. That just means that he wants to take me to the next level. And he can't take me to the next level and I'm mad as hell. what kind of demonstration of God and faith am I? And I'm ripping faces off and, you know, flipping tables. And that God doesn't want anybody representing him like that. But if I can go into an inharmonious situation and I bring peace and positivity, mm-hmm. people are going to go, oh, man, what did that girl didn't even, she didn't even let that get her upset. I want what she has. That's what he's looking for. He being God. That's what he's looking for. He's not impressed by us being mad and they did me wrong, Lord. And he's like, yeah, they did me wrong too. They did my son wrong. And what? We have to rise above that. And you can't rise above it until, just like with Alcoholics Anonymous, until you admit I'm mean as hell. I'm rude. It doesn't matter if you go to church every Sunday and Bible study on Wednesdays. It doesn't matter.
With a 5-pound cross and with carry the 20-pound Bible and cussing in the parking lot.
Yep. And the little fish thing on the back of your car. Like, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You have to admit it. And you got to want to do better. And you have to put in the work. It's hard. It's hard. There was one young lady that started with us and she didn't want to do the work. And maybe she has since then. But if you don't do the work, nothing's going to change. That's like if you want to lose 10 pounds, you just sit there like, oh, I'm going to lose 10 pounds. And you don't do nothing about it. You ain't never going to lose 10 pounds. Yeah. But you have to put in the work. And you got to go, man, I got to do better. I got to do better. It's hard. And I, you know, I fell off the train a couple of times, but I got right back on because I liked flying high. I liked feeling like, yeah, this is it right here. And then if I fell off, I was like, no. I don't want to go back. I want to fly high. I don't want to be in the dirt.
Hey, we need to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Do people tell you that you should be satisfied with all you've achieved, but you still want more? Are you destined to be great, but you can't figure out how to manifest it into your present reality? In Christy's latest book, Trauma Default, you'll learn how unhealed childhood trauma and incidents from your past stops you from moving forward to the next level of your future. You will also learn how to find your purpose and step into your destiny. Get it at traumadefault.com.
And we're back.
Yeah. So Monique, let's talk about your trauma default. Because trauma default is a pattern that you're trapped in that continues to show up again and again and again. And so I think about how when I was younger, people, even when I was in elementary school, my teachers told me I'd never be anybody and you'll never amount to much. What is that to tell a kid? And I'm going to work to prove you wrong. And then the family expects that when I go to college, you know, you're going to fail and they want to admit to it now, but it's okay. You know, people expected for me to fail and come back home. So by the time I got into the workplace, I was already fighting. Fighting was normal. What was it for you? What cycle were you trapped in? And then when you saw it, how did that change your life?
So mine was a combination of rejection. So I was rejected by my dad. I was rejected growing up. The white kids didn't want to play with me. The black kids didn't want to play with me. I got made fun of. Oh, you're too light. You're too tall. Your eyes are so big. Your neck is so long. You're so this and that. All the time. I mean, people always touching my hair. And then, and after a while, I let that make me very mean and bitter. So I got to the point where I expected people to reject me. So then I was like, going to rip your face off so I'd make it easier for you to reject me because I knew you were going to reject me anyway. and then that just kind of progressed and got worse and worse and worse until, you know, it wasn't even about rejection. It was just like my default was to rip faces off. And no matter what the situation, it was like, well, oh, you think I'm stupid?
What?
Like,
what?
Who? What? you talking to me? You surely you're not. Yeah. No. No, and I remember when I was in law school, I went to a counselor because I needed help. And she was a Caucasian woman, and she said, you know what? It's okay if you quit now. Nobody's going to look down on you. Now, I went to her for help. And I got so mad. And I thought, see, that's someone else trying to reject me, make me feel like I'm not good enough. And then I never forgot that. And I thought, man, and then that turned into proving that I'm smart enough, proving that I'm good enough. Oh, yeah, I already worked 50 hours. I need to work 60? Okay, I'll work 60 because I need to show. Or if I'm in a meeting, like, ooh, I know the answer because I want you to know I'm smart. And then people got to a point like, man, you just a know-it-all. Damn, like, is there anything you don't know? And I'd be like, nope, I don't think so.
Nope.
But nobody likes a know-it-all, at least not like that. So I would say the default is just a combination of just rejection and then that deflection of, I'm going to rip your face off and make you hate me before I know you're going to do it anyway.
And so all of that was cycle. So when you go to work, it's the exact same thing. It's what I talk about a trauma default is the boardroom is the new playground, right? Like the meeting room and the executive room is the new playground because you're playing the same game. So now the kids are your new coworkers who are taunting you and they are rejecting you, but it's the law of attraction. It's James Allen said, man attracts what he secretly fears, also what he secretly harbors. So if you're secretly harboring rejection and resentment, you're going to attract more of that. If you're afraid of people leaving or being rejected, you're going to attract that. So you're attracting the very same thing that you're justified in. Does that make sense? To be angry, you're attracting that through the thoughts that you have, the words that are coming out of your mouth, because you're probably saying it. And then the visions that you have of, I wonder when I go into this new work environment, are they going to like me? No, they're going to reject me. So you walk in angry.
Yep.
And then wonder why they're actually doing this. So what was one of the pivotal points or one exercise or one action that you took that got you the greatest results? And I know that you did a lot because I put y'all through a lot. You do a lot of work. But what was the one thing for you that you did? Or was it a series of small things that led to a bigger result?
There were a bunch of things. So meditation was huge for me. Like I had never quieted my mind. That was huge for me. And just like, it's okay, Moni. It's okay. It's okay, girl. Just like, just relax. Quiet your mind. The Abraham Hicks, the positive vibrations. Oh,
yes.
That was monumental for me. Like when you give out that positivity, like it draws in positivity. And I mean, that blew me away. I mean, just the whole law of, and this is all based on biblical principles. So you call things that be not as though they were. You don't wait till they were or they are. And then you're like, oh, thank you, Lord. You're like, Lord, I'm asking for this. I believe it. Thank you, Lord. I already got it. You start acting like I got it. And as long as it's, you know, within his will and you're doing what you need to be doing. And that's what the Abraham Hicks is just based off of, just putting out that positivity, like, Lord, thank you. Abundance is coming my way. I had it on my computer screen. I have my little, that was another one. Affirmations, huge. Because if I'm not consciously telling myself positive things, then the negative's there. Like, I can't believe your kids didn't even like you. You ain't that all that. You think you smited it. Nope. Thank you, Father. I'm healthy, wealthy, strong. I'm favored. I'm loving. People love me. I love other people. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiving. I'm redeemed. I'm a child of the Most High. I mean, day in, day out. Because you got to keep, this is like eating. You got to keep eating to keep your mind. The mind is a powerful thing. It, woo, woo, woo. And I have really, not that I didn't know that, but I've really recognized it now. So if you don't purposefully put positive in, positive is not going to come out. So I would say just that in improving my prayer life, not just, you know, rub a dub dub, thank God for the grub. It was, you know, like consciously, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, changing me. Thank you, Father, I'm favored. Like, make me who you want me to be. I know you have a plan for me. Just acting like I'm a child of the Most High. child of the Most High ain't ripping faces off. That's not a child of the Most High.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just getting my faith walk together has been huge. I mean, and just, you know, quite honestly, you believing in me, like just you seeing something in me that at the beginning I couldn't even see in my own self was powerful. Like, man, she really, and it wasn't like a cheesy, like, oh, you can be awesome. No, I was like, you know, you don't even know your worth. And I remember you telling me that you don't even know your worth. You're a hyena. You should be a lioness. I was like,
you a zirconia. You acting, you a diamond acting like you a zirconia.
Right. The cubic zirconia at the dollar store. Like that was huge for me. Like that was huge for me. Just to know that you genuinely believed that, and it wasn't just you putting on or whatever. You genuinely believed that. And then when I started seeing like little things you said would happen, started happening, I was like, there's something to this. Because you kept saying, I wasn't getting any kind of offers. You kept saying, it's coming. So they created a job for me. They created something for me. Like, because I stepped into the new me and I knew what I was worth, then when they approached me with this little bitty tic-tac of an offer, I didn't even say anything. They were like, oh, tic-tac ain't significant enough for you. Like you, we need you in a much bigger capacity. They're saying that to me. And the whole time I'm just like, oh my gosh, she was right. She was right. It's just been a phenomenal experience. And now, you know, I always say abundance flows freely. I got people coming to me, people I don't even know.
Yes.
Telling me what an expert I am. And I'm thinking, you don't even know me. You what that?
You know, I love everybody's transformations. I definitely love, I love yours, especially because you were fretting because you were laid off. I didn't read that in your bio because it's not a part of who you are, but you were laid off. And I've talked to a lot of women who were like, you know what? No, I'm Chrissy. I'm going to save my money because it's Rona and I don't know what we're going to do. And I'm like, but how are you going to change? Yeah. You know, like you're going to save your money and that money's going to dwindle. How are you going to become different?
Yep.
And so you chose to invest. And I remember we were talking on the phone and we were saying this earlier, but we was cussing. It was kind of funny. But when I called you out, you was like this, what you say to me? You was like this. I knew that. I was like this. You'd be like this. Wait, what you just say to me? What? And we screamed on the phone and you were like this. Yeah. You got me. But I think when you just talked about, I saw you. I was saying, don't worry about the job. What are you getting? And then you were like, oh, well, my household and my peace and my kids. Now you can notice because you're not so focused on the job. I said, how long do you have before it all goes south?
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
That's my question. A lot of women don't explore. I always say, when is your worst case scenario going to pop off? I got like 3-4 months. Okay. Well, you had longer, but don't worry about that. The job is going to come. There is something else that needs to happen in this time. And that was you to start to turn around and kind of relax a little because you had time. I was like, man, 2 months, you know how much magic can happen? Ah, girl, don't worry about that job. What else are you getting? Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn my attention to my house. And now you can feel joy. So whenever you have this new opportunity, you're not giving up this unicorn riding over here no more.
No.
So tell the ladies about what real joy feels like and how that's going to not only allow you to show up differently in your value, but show up differently like everywhere that you are.
Real joy. It's just a peace. Just a like the Bible says, a peace that passeth all understanding. I mean, you come into my house, and now my daughter's friends want to talk to me. They're coming over. These jokers won't leave. They spend the night for 3, 4, 5 nights at a time. Oh, tell mom I said hi. Tell mom. My son's friends. I mean, it's just a totally different, my husband. Just a joy, like feeling the love that my family really has for me.
Yeah.
Period. Like a genuine love, like a genuine, like, I missed you today.
Yeah.
I want to hug you. I want to kiss you. And I mean, that's my husband, my parents, my family. And then now I'm working in a space that is phenomenal to me, because just on a call the other day, now I just started this consulting arrangement. There's two people I had been talking to, the young lady, for maybe 10 minutes before the guy jumped on the phone. So within 3 minutes, she goes, oh, she's only a contractor. So who are we going to bring on full time? Then he says, yes. Oh, she's not going to work for you. She's going to work with me. And then she was like, well, no, I want her to work with me. And then I was going, are they like busting over me? It has been, when you're at peace and you're open to what God wants to bring to you, man, you will be knocked off your feet. I'm telling you, just calls out of nowhere. And I remember, like you said, Christy, just not getting shaken and just acting like, oh, I get these kind of calls all the time.
Because you do, and you will.
Yeah. I get these calls. And the power of saying no, that was another one. Yeah. That you were saying, like, don't waste your time. No. No, I can't talk to you. No, you can't pick my brain. No. If you want to pick my brain, we can talk about a fee, but monetizing everything. So just, yeah, just the joy piece is just, once you've got that joy at home, mm-hmm. like, other people pick up on that. And guess what? If they don't, yeah, I'll move on to the next. You know, if people are ugly and nasty, I don't have time for that anymore. And I'm not going to participate in it. So,
nope. I think the last thing is, what's missing in senior leadership? And I remember going to Harvard and in 2016, but see, I ain't had no money when I was there. A lot of people know I was still in my brother's house broke, but I had peace. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And so I'm there, God was tripping, but I was there and people were like, Chris, it's something about you. I like you. I think that I'm like, there's mind trickery. Does that make sense? Because I have total peace, but my money hasn't come yet because I wasn't living in my passion coaching women like you. I was like this. I ain't talking to no women. I ain't telling my story. God was like, all right, fine. I ain't giving you no money. So,
all right.
Cool. Keep on the path that you're not supposed to be on. But in my Harvard class, it was 186 people from 45 countries. And they were just like this. It's just something about you. Like, I just don't know what it is. And I was like this. That's when I knew Monique, because now I'm reflecting other winners. And I was like this. Oh, y'all want my peace. Oh, that's what's missing in the senior levels. And it goes back to what you talked about earlier on being angry. We're so mad as sisters that people don't want to open the door for a mad woman. Nobody wants to be around somebody who's angry. One, two, justified in their anger. Three, and don't want to change. Like, let me in this room and I'm going to pull up my seat to the table. It's like, no, whenever you just become at ease with who you are and just forgive all of that because you're successful. Like, why are you so mad? It's because we're bleeding from the thousand knives in our back. If you let all that stuff go, the queen has put her crown on and the red carpet, they will open the door for you. And I'm telling people, you don't have to fight and kick and scream and claw. Whenever you get back into yourself, people, that's completely separates you from everybody else that anybody talks to. You are genuinely happy and people want to be around that. They be like this. So I want her on my team. No. I want her on my team. Okay, we got to pay her more money because we don't know. So that's the thing that.
Yeah.
And you touched on that I tell women and they think, well, Christy, you're happy. You've never been through anything. You're weird. And I'm like, no. Let me create a podcast series because I'm producing unicorn riding, weird.
Yeah.
Happy women who are paid.
Yep. Yep.
So one piece of advice what's the one thing, because you talked about meditation, affirmations, which are all free. Abraham Hicks is on YouTube. And then saying no, those are four things that are free that women can do. But what's the one piece of advice as we get ready to close out that you can give women with where they are right now and they want to be different, but they just don't know how to be?
I would say you're worth it. You are worth it. You are worth investing in yourself. I didn't say this, but this was the first time I invested in myself ever. And I was like, ooh, I don't have that kind of money. Ooh, why would I spend that kind? Because I'm special. I'm special. And the other Black women are special too.
Yeah.
And other women, not just Black women, but we're special. We deserve it. We deserve it because we have a gifting that's different from any other group on earth. There's a special gifting for us. And if we can't walk in it, then there's a lot of things that aren't going to get completed. God has a special plan for each and every one of us. And you're worth it. Yeah, are you awesome? Yeah, you're awesome. You're smart. Yeah, you might even have that executive level job and you're still bitter and angry and hateful and spiteful and nobody likes you. That's not the kind of leaders.
Chanel, Lexus, $600,000 house, bitter as I don't know what. You'd be like, what's the point?
I don't know what. Yep. Yep. And God has so much more in store for his daughters, period. You're worth it.
Yeah.
And until you, even if you don't feel like you're worth it, believe that you're worth it because God has said that you're worth it, period. Yeah.
I love it that you brought that up because one, I'm not cheap, right? But I get results and I get them fast. We're not playing around here.
Yeah.
Have you gotten your return on your investment? Not just because Monique, look, let's be clear. I want to get a little closer. It's not about the money. But we're going to get that money. I want to be real clear. Everything that we do, it ain't about the money. But we're going to get the money. Many times women think that they have to have either or. Either I got to take a lower job and I got to cut my pay in half in order to be available for my family. And I'm like, you're doing it wrong. You're not energetically available for your family. Because once you start to prioritize your time and you get your joy back, like, you open up so many doors and opportunities. Have you gotten a return on your investment monetarily, you know, for someone who didn't? Because when I hit you with that price tag, you was like, oh, Lord. I said, well, let's work it out, girl. Stop playing, right? But I think that I had spoke to your unspoken challenges so much that you was like, all right, fine. I was like, it's not that hard. Because it isn't, but it is. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I make part time, but I was making full time a year ago. I make the same money when I was working a full time job, working fewer hours, and doing stuff that I love. Part time. It's real. It's real. And you asked me, was the investment worth it? Oh my God, I would pay triple that over and over and over again. Just for what I've learned about myself, my household being in order, the love in our household. I love me now. You can't, girl, please. You can't tell me I ain't worth it.
You are. Look. Work it.
I can't do the cabbage patch quite right because I'm sitting down. But
I did the cabbage patch on another call.
Yeah, you can't tell me I'm not worth it.
Yeah.
And I know that the other women are worth it too. Sometimes we just can't see it because we're so freaking beat down. But we are worth it. We are worth it. And the turnaround, I think, and I wouldn't have realized it as much until you did the before after picture. And I was like, oh my God. Like the before picture was like, it was just black, like around, like a, I can't even explain. Just like a blackness around me, a darkness.
That dark energy, your aura was dark.
Yeah, it was ugly. And then now it's like, woo.
All you light know? Has shined, yes. Broken through.
Yes, yes. Never to go back. Never to go back. So was it worth it? Yes, it was life-changing, life-saving.
It's only been four months. Hands down, I just love what I do, right? And I'm an overachiever. You'd be like, man, it's you're not that far away from where you want to be is what I tell women. You're like, you think you got to do all these big things. You're not that far. You're right on the cusp. We just have to tweak just a few things. And then pow, you break through and you look like Tule Buttons that we talked about.
Right. Tule Buttons. Yeah. She went from being what, 40 to looking like she's 17 now. So I was going to say just the money is worth it. I can't even express it better than that. If, you know, I heard something the other day that somebody said, you know, when your life is done, you want people to say, man, she rode that thing till the wheels fell off. And that's what I want my for people to say about me. Like, man, she gave it her all. Oh, it was the story of Reginald Lewis that I'm listening to now. And I'll just say this last thing too about self-help. So a lot of times you think, oh, well, I'll just read enough books. He can read all the books and live on day. But you need somebody who is just divinely gifted, which I 100% believe that you are. You can see into people and you can say things to people that they can't deny.
Yeah.
So you can the self-help stuff is great, but until you invest in somebody who's gifted to help pull you out of that dark place of bitterness, you're not gonna reach it.
Yeah. So Moni, we read the books. We did this already. Right? Like I read the books. I can tell you, and I can give you all the advice from what the books say, but until I became the information in the book, did my life change.
Yep.
Well, Monique, thank you so much for joining us. You're amazing. Yep. I can't wait to see. It's only been 4 months. Like, this is just, like, if you can, like, this is just the beginning. And so I love to watch the progression, because if you can do this in 4 months, imagine where you're going to be next April.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know I see a lot of people on LinkedIn that claim that they do what you do. And I can't speak for if their results are the same, but I'm living proof that your results are freaking phenomenal.
Yeah, I always tell people, like, it's not about comparison, because I'm always willing to lock arms. I'd be like this, Monique, when are you going to create your coaching program, right? Like, so maybe next year that's something that you'll do. But it's how can we operate in our gifting and lock arms together to be able to change the world? But let's be clear. Nobody sets professional women free faster than Christy Rutherford, period.
Christy Rutherford.
And we're going to get that money. I ain't playing.
Yep.
We're gonna get money. I can't wait to see who you are, you know, next April and then next September. So you have somebody who's on the sideline celebrating. I'd be texting people randomly with my popcorn talking about, oh, this is just 4 months in the game. You know, imagine what's going to be 2 years and 5 years. And the last thing is, how different will your daughter be now that her mom came back to herself at the pivotal point of 16 to now be able to shape how she'll show up in the world? And then your son, you talked about him building a box and like sitting beside you on your desk. I didn't know he was 12. I thought he was like 6, because 12-year-olds don't do that.
Yeah.
A 12-year-old who wants to be connected with his mom does.
Yep. And now mom is there for him to connect with. So, it's been phenomenal. Yes.
Thank you so much, Winnie.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Awesome. Okay.
Thank you for investing your time with us today. Get Christy's free case study, How to Pivot in Your Career and Recession-Proof Your Income Without Getting Another Degree, at www.changenowwithchristy.com. Until next time, be sure to subscribe to our channel and share this episode with a woman who needs it. Your life will never be the same for the best.
Many counted us out. They said we couldn't do it. Now, millions of listeners later, we're the hottest independent network in the world. Bashani Radio app. Download free in the App Store for iPhone and Android. Or listen online at BashaniRadio.com. You suckers. Kaboom! Kaboom in your face.